Well, in our last class, we were finishing up the looking at prayer in the sense of at the end of the day, when we looked at the example of Jesus praying at the end of the day. And we had also looked at, right before that, the example of Jesus praying at the start of his day. So, well, you can understand that the importance of beginning and ending our day with prayer. Now, besides praying at these times, besides some things we looked in the last class, that is praying and giving thanks for food, we looked at the start of the day and the end of the day, but there are some other times that we looked at that we can pray besides just giving thanks for food and the start of our day and the end of the day. What examples of Jesus did we look at? Do y'all remember?
It's about to choose the apostles.
Okay. So some when we make important decisions, so that's when he was choosing the apostles, he went and he prayed about it. And so that shows us there that it's important for us to pray about our decisions that we make. Because we have the example of Jesus doing this. Was there something else we prayed about or just we looked at?
Times of turmoil. You know, the Jews were trying to make them their earthly king, and that wasn't part of the plan. And then they were trying to capture him, and it was just unsettled.
Okay, so they didn't see the right reason. They were trying to make an earthly king. And so that, but also you could call that maybe times of popularity if you look at it in that way, because they were trying to, everybody was trying to follow him, but they wanted him to be earthly, an earthly king. So even when things might look positive, we need to look at these things more, because it could be a tool that Satan's using. But I would definitely agree, yes, it is a time that was being used for the wrong thing. So we'd have to, so we can look at it in times of turmoil as well. Are there any other comments on that before we go any further? No? Okay. When we ended the class, we were looking at Luke 22:32. Now, what was Jesus praying for here?
He was praying for them, or for Simon, that he would stay strong in his faith.
Okay, so praying for Peter, and we looked at some different things of that as far as, because we saw here that it was showing that he was going to fail. Okay, but Jesus pointed out that praying for him for when he, let me get back to that verse.
Well, he was just overconfident in his faith. Simon Peter was overconfident in his faith, saying, "Oh, I'm not going to do that. I would never, deny you."
Okay, yeah, because in verse 33, he said to him, "Lord, with you I'm ready to go both to prison and to death." But then Jesus tells him that, "I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied me three times that you know me." And we also saw, we looked at previous to that in verse 32, this idea, it said, "I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail, and you, when once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers." So this idea of, of course, Jesus knew he was going to fail, because he goes in to say that in the next verse. So we see how Jesus was praying for this. Any comments or thoughts on that?
I think I made this comment, but just to really go back, if you go to the other accounts on this incident, so Jesus tells them that they all were going to fail. And Luke doesn't record that.
Okay.
And then Peter comes out and says this, and then it's interesting, at the end there, when Jesus tells Peter, there, as you were reading, you know, strengthen your brothers. Once you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. So, you know, I think he's praying for Peter after he falters and denies Jesus, and he's back on his feet, and he repents, and you know, provide the example and strengthen his other disciples who also fell away.
Okay. Thank you. Good comments. And, we covered that in class. I think where we left off was right here at Luke 23:34. Now, in Luke 23:34, what was Jesus praying for?
For the forgiveness of the people that were trying to kill him.
Okay. So he was praying for those that were the very ones that were crucifying him. He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So, what are some things that this can teach us?
We can pray for others for forgiveness.
Okay, we can pray for others for forgiveness. Now, we looked at examples of Jesus was praying for those that were following him. But he was also, we saw examples of those that weren't.
Praying for our enemies.
Okay. And praying for those, these were the very ones that were crucifying him. So, we should pray for others. We should pray for them and the circumstances that they might be going through. We should pray for those that we are in contact with that do not know the Lord. We should pray that they might come to know the Lord. And there's many things that we can pray about when it comes to others. But most important, we need to think of those of the faith. Just some examples I was thinking of when maybe someone's going off to college or what, we could pray for them that they would be strong maybe through these new experiences they're going to be going through, because it's a whole new thing to them. They might not, some might be living at home, or some might go off. So they're going to be away from the examples that they're used to having and the strength that they're used to having. So we can pray for them that they would be strong and that they wouldn't be influenced by these others, or maybe that they might be the influence on others. We pray for those that are moving, that they would find a good group to join with wherever they move to, and that they would be a strength to them, and vice versa, that group would keep them strong. And of course, we pray for our brethren's health, and I know we do because I hear it in the prayers that are led. And we could pray for their health and maybe troubles that are going on in their lives. And kind of as a side note, something I put in my notes, you know, this idea of praying for our brethren. When we, one good point about that, let's look over at Romans real quick. Romans 12. We're going to read verses 12 through 13, Romans 12. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Now, one reason why I put this in there is this idea of, we're to, this is speaking of one another, and we're to be devoted to prayer, we know. And it's talking about the contributing to the needs of the saints, and also this idea of practicing hospitality. I put this in here because if we're going to pray for our brethren and truly do that, then we're going to need to know what their needs are. And if you don't know them, then you're not going to know what their needs are. So this idea of getting to know one another, to be able to help one another, and it's not just in prayer, but this idea that we can pray for them in these things as well. That's just a thought that I had, just a side note. So the point is we need to help each other, and to one way we can do that is to pray for one another's needs. And like I said, if we don't know our brethren, then we won't know what their needs are. So, and we see an idea here that one way to solve that is to have brethren in your home. You know, that way you can get to know them, get to know what's going on in their life. Are there any comments or questions?
Frank, I think that this is a very humbling prayer. I mean, it's hard to pray for your enemies, especially in this particular situation where they're out to kill him. And he wants the Lord to forgive him. And then in Romans, where you were reading, in verse 14, it says, "Bless those who persecute, bless and curse not." So we can fall into sin if we don't have an attitude of us forgiving our enemies as well.
Okay. Any other thoughts or comments? All right. Good comments. let's look at John 11. I'm going to read verses 41 and 42. Bear with me, I forgot my glasses. So they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it, so that they may believe that you sent me." So, what was this prayer about? What did Jesus accomplish with this prayer? There's at least two answers that I can think of. Okay. But this, when he did this, when he prayed this, was
the people saw.
Okay, the people saw. So that by praying out loud, he confirmed who he was, or confirmed that he taught and confirmed who he was by doing this.
Gave glory to God.
And also he honored and praised God, gave the glory to God. That's the two that I had put on there. Are there any other thoughts on that? Or? Okay. Did you have a thought, Lauren?
Did you get glory, giving glory to God out of these two verses, or are you going back to 40?
Well, it's verse 41 says, "Father, I thank you."
Okay, I put that. I thought he thanked God for hearing. I didn't word that is. I didn't realize that was.
You might prefer praise. I mean, I acknowledge God. Just acknowledge. My thought was acknowledge God.
Okay,
God
just,
was the one who was answering the prayer according to what Jesus
okay,
said.
Okay, well, right. I put the same thing. I just put that he showed gratitude.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I well, to be honest, when I wrote all this down, I couldn't tell you if I had verse 40 in mind at that time, but but it's just the idea that he was praising or giving honor or glory to God.
He was showing the people his faith.
Right, right. Yeah, that was one of the other things mentioned.
He knew God heard him.
Well, yes. And by doing this, because that's why he did it out loud, he was doing this to teach and to confirm who he was.
So what was your answer for why he prayed? The raising of Lazarus?
Well, that's what, when I put what did he accomplish by this prayer, that's kind of what I meant by my question.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I was building on the thought. It really wasn't two questions. I apologize. I didn't mean to make it sound that way. It was really just building on the thought. It was actually just one question. What'd you answer? Okay. Now, the next verses we had there, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, What was Jesus praying for in these? What was the circumstance here?
Instituting the Lord's Supper.
The Lord's Supper? Okay. So the reason why I put that in there is because as we've gone through this lesson, we've looked at different things that Jesus has prayed about. Okay, this idea of giving thanks for food as you awake, before you go to sleep. You know, the other different things that we've looked at. And then also this example we have here. Now, we're not going to go into the Lord's Supper at this time because that is one of our lessons that we'll have in our further class. Some other examples that when Jesus prayed. In John 12, John 12, 27 and 28 says, "Now my soul has become troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Jesus was praying in time of trouble. And we can pray in times of trouble, and that was one thing I think you were talking about earlier. Well, turmoil or times of trouble. Okay. As we see in Luke 3:21, we see another time, and these couple verses here are just verses I'm just briefly touching because I just want to see the idea or show the idea of different times that Jesus prayed for different and what I mean by times in this point is different for different reasons. Luke 3:21-23. "Now when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. And while he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came out of heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, and you I am well pleased.'" When he began his ministry, Jesus himself was about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. So, what time was this in his life that he was praying? What did it show that he was beginning?
His ministry.
Okay. Beginning his ministry. Okay. And now when we look to Luke 23 and 46, 23:46 says, "And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last." So, when is this a time of, what is this showing?
His death.
Okay. Could be the time, the end of his life or the end of his ministry. So he prayed in many different circumstances. And that was just the main point of showing some of these different verses, that we can pray in different circumstances. I'm sure maybe there's certain times we always pray, like maybe for food or when we get up or when we go to bed. But this is maybe to help us see other times that we can benefit by praying. So we see this example in Jesus, and it's not only in Him. We're going to see that in some further lessons that we'll probably get started into today. So we look at some examples how Jesus prayed or used prayer in His life. And we saw the circumstances, times, and places that He used while He walked as a man. Now, Jesus was tempted in all things but without sin. Now He invites us to come to the throne of God through Him. So the question is, shouldn't we pray? Or will we pray? So let's look at Hebrews 4. Let's see that idea. We're going to read Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. So we see this idea of this avenue that we have. Are there any thoughts or comments before we end Lesson A, or before we go on to B? Any thoughts or comments on Jesus' prayers or the examples? Okay. Well, Lesson B is we're going to look at the apostles when they prayed. So as we look at prayer in the life of the apostles, you might notice some similarities of what we looked at when we were looking at Jesus' prayers. As we looked at what Jesus, keep in mind when the apostles prayed. And when I'm talking about when, I mean circumstances, times, and the places that they pray. So as we look at these examples, we need to keep in mind who these men were. And what I mean by that is their apostolic authority, which we're all familiar with this verse, but in Matthew 28, verse 18, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even in the end of the age." So, in this Matthew 28:19, this could help us understand that these men were worthy examples. What are some things, or what might you say in this verse tells us that their example is worthy of being followed?
Well, Jesus gave them the responsibility.
Okay.
To teach all nations.
So. Okay. So he obviously trusted them. Okay. Yes, ma'am. Good point. Okay. So we do see that Jesus himself trusted in these men and told them to go and make disciples. And we know that disciples are learners or students or followers. So they're to make these disciples or followers of Christ. Now, verse 20 kind of builds on this idea. So what does verse 20 tell us?
Well, he repeated it. I mean,
well, he said teaching them what he had commanded.
Okay, so it's an idea of what he had commanded.
He also says that he will be with them.
Okay.
That's going to give them the guidance they need to teach the truth and write down the truth.
Okay. And so these men were to make disciples by teaching. And in this teaching, it was to observe what, it says, all that I have commanded. So to observe what God expects. And we know that we can follow Jesus' example. And this shows us that we can follow the examples of the apostles, because that's who they're supposed to be following. Okay, that's who they're following, is Jesus. So we need to keep in mind that teaching can be done in direct teaching and also in this example of their lives. So we can learn, and the reason I say it, so we can learn by these men and what they tell us, but also in the example that we see in the Scripture by their actions. Now, although prayer is only one facet of the apostles' lives we should emulate, we should always realize the value and authority of the apostolic example in guiding our lives. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11:1. This says, "Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ." So Paul tells the church in Corinth to be imitators of him, just as he is an imitator of Christ. And let's look over at 1 Corinthians 4. And verse 1 Corinthians 4, 16 and 17, "Therefore I exhort you, be imitators of me. For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my ways, which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church." So, we see this idea. What does verse 17 tell us? Well, in these verses, what does this tell us about this this example that Paul is teaching? I mean, as far as his teachings, it's indeed his teachings, but where does he get it?
Paul gets it from Christ.
Okay, so it's also Christ's teachings. And in verse 17, it explains what we're to imitate. That's this idea. Paul says that he has sent Timothy to remind them of his ways. And that is what they were to imitate. But that verse also even goes to say that his ways are Christ's ways. Okay? Because that's where he gets it. And that's the same idea we were looking at in 1 Corinthians 11 as well. Excuse me. So Paul shows that where he gets his ways, and these are really Jesus' ways. So as a follower, Paul imitates him, and then Paul tells the Corinthians that they are to imitate Paul, but it also goes to say that that's what he teaches everywhere. So we see this idea that that's what he's teaching, that we should imitate Paul. Well, he's telling them that, but it's also for us as well. And that's the same as he teaches every church. And that's kind of this idea that we've looked at in Matthew 28. Because the apostles are to go and to teach and to make followers of Christ, teaching what they have learned. Any comments or thoughts? Okay. In Philippians, Ephesians tried to get away. And Philippians 3:17 says, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." Okay. Now let's look at Philippians 4:9. Philippians 4:9 says, "The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Let's look at another example in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. "You also became imitators of us and the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit." We see the idea over and over, and how these were examples from the apostles. And if we understand this idea and apply it to prayer, we can see that we should follow their example in prayer. Now, the following verses are some instructions that the apostles left us. These show the importance of prayer and will help us with our attitude towards prayer. Now, we're going to look at some verses. And when we look at these verses, I put here on the question to say, use these verses and explain the importance of doing these things, and also show what these have to do with our attitude and how these can help our attitude towards prayer. So in these verses we're looking at, we can learn some things, some importance of why we are to do these things that the apostles have showed us, and it might tell us some things about our attitude as well. In 1 Thessalonians, Thessalonians 5:17, now there's several things mentioned here, but we're looking at this idea of praying without ceasing. So, why is it important to pray without ceasing? And does that have anything to do with our, does it show anything about our attitude?
Our faith.
Okay.
It shows that we continue to have faith that he will answer our prayers.
Okay.
Whether we get an immediate response or whether it takes him a little while to teach us patience to get our response.
Okay. So if you say in the faith that he that he's going to answer them, so that also implies that he hears. Mm-hmm. So this idea of it shows that we trust that God hears us and that he's able to answer them, even though we might not agree when or how or any of that. That's not up to us. But we know and trust that he does hear us and that he is able. And we looked at that in a previous lesson when we looked at the psalmist. So, yes, sir.
Craig, I think also verse 18 we had it down there kind of connects in verse 17. In addition to what was already said, I think another important point is that it's God's will that we do pray without ceasing. And also add to that an attitude of thanksgiving. Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. I agree. I had that because I put that in my notes because they kind of 18 kind of builds on verse 17. This idea in everything give thanks. So we should be, we need to be thankful to God for all that we have, physical, spiritual, all the blessings we have. And yes, ma'am.
I think it also shows if we do pray without ceasing and we have a prayerful attitude that it shows that our willingness to submit to God's will and to be dependent on Him.
Okay.
Which is one of the reasons I think that He wants us to pray.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. So maybe that's maybe a different aspect of trust. I mean, it's still a trust, but I mean, in one way we're looking at trusting that He hears, but that's really to put our trust in Him. Good thoughts.
Craig, I think it also shows that it exercises our privilege to be able to communicate with God.
Okay.
If we're praying without ceasing. And having a prayerful mind, to me, is like you're ready to break out into a prayer at any time. I mean, you have constantly know that He is watching over you and He's with you. Just knowing that you can pray at any time.
Well, I like the way you word that, because you said privilege, and that's exactly right. And I don't know that we... Maybe we don't think of it as that as much. Because really, yeah, we're communicating with deity. And, you know, God's provided us that through Christ, that we can be right with Him and have such an avenue. So do we really have that thankfulness? Do we use this? We have reason to be thankful at all times. So, you know, I think it has to do with our attitude towards prayer. Do you have a thought, Rocky?
Yeah, no comment about without ceasing. You know, normally pray at night, you know, the mornings, pray at services, we pray for food, maybe at times of trial. But, you know, what I think this is saying that, you know, our life should be filled with prayer at all times. You know, right. We always, do we do that? I mean,
right. For different kinds of prayer, different reasons, different times. Yes, sir. Good point.
It'd be good to teach our children this too.
Right. Well, and we, in a sense, we do if they see it in our lives.
Right.
And if they don't see it in our lives, then we're teaching something else. So, yeah, it's very good reason that we need to be doing this.
I think on this prayer without ceasing, I know that I find it very helpful for me, you know, on vacation or driving around or travel around, seeing God's beauty.
Yes, sir.
Or in the mornings when I see the sun rising, you know, there's an opportunity to pray. Just thank God for the day and the beautiful sun. And
well, it's something that reminds you.
What you're seeing and observing.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's interesting, Rocky brought in verse 18, back up to verse 16, and then consider the Thessalonians. They were being persecuted against, see that kicked in 2 Thessalonians. And yet, Paul instructs them to be rejoicing and looks for that kind of language. So here's an attitude. I mean, it is pray without ceasing. It is all the things we talked about.
Right.
But it isn't the down in the dumps, I got to do it kind of a thing. It's in recognition of your, in effect, humble recognition, hopefully, of your status. I mean, you are God's children. Do you have a reason to rejoice? Do you have a reason to pray? Do you have a reason to be thankful? Whether it is, no matter what's going on around you, even. When you keep it in context, there's a lot of things going on around us, and I think a lot of people here that I hear pray, I know pray about, and I do, about the things around us, the beauty around us. I mean, God's done wonderful things for us in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm. And so we can be happy, we can rejoice, be that kind of happy about what God's done for us, and be prayers.
Yes.
Pray without ceasing and be thankful for those things.
Are there any other thoughts or comments on this? Because we have about 2 minutes left, so we're going to stop at this point. So if anybody has any thoughts or comments, now's the time. If not, then we're going to pick up in 1 John 5 in the next class. Lord willing.